I want to read one verse this morning, Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. The Bible says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the precious word of God. Thank you for the presentation by our Gideon brother this morning. And thank you, Lord, for how the word of God is indeed powerful, quicker, sharper than a two-edged sword. And now, Father, I pray your blessings upon not only the reading of your word, but the preaching of it. I ask you now to help as I stand here today and desire by your grace to deliver a message today that's on a very precious theme. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I think every one of you will agree with me today that sin is abounding in our society. Sin is abounding. We see evidences of that all around us, don't we? Sin is abounding as we see people today whose lives have been ruined because of sin. Sin is abounded as we look around, we see people standing on the corners of our streets in the cities passing out their drugs. Sin is abounding when we can see precious children being torn from their mothers' wombs. Sin is abounding when we can see religion perverted that's resulting in people being beheaded, precious lives being burned. Sin is abounding. I want to say today as we think about this truth, go with me to a place. I'm talking about the Garden of Eden. Consider how sin abounded, but grace did much more abound. I think of the Garden of Eden. I think of how our first parents were tempted. I think about how Adam was bitten by the serpent of sin, and Adam reached out and took of that forbidden fruit. Sin was abounding. But then I think of how, in the midst of his dilemma, a voice was heard in the garden. And that voice said, "Adam, where art thou?" Grace did much more abound. Sin abounded, but grace did much more abound. God took an innocent animal, slew an innocent animal, clothed Adam and Eve. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I think about how time progressed upon this earth. There came a time that sin had permeated the culture of this earth. God looked down from heaven. God saw the wickedness of man was great upon this earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God raised up Noah. Noah began to build and to work upon that ark. And then the day came where God invited Noah and his family to come inside the ark. And God closed the door. Sin abounded, but grace did much more abound. Follow me a little bit further as we go through Bible history. I think of an instance. The man is Abraham. Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. The day came that Abraham and his son go up on a mountain. I see how sin abounded in the question that Isaac asked. Isaac said, "Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb?" You say, "Preacher, how could that be reflective of sin abounding?" I remind us all this morning that because of sin, sacrifices were required. Because of sin, this world required sacrifices. And Isaac asked the question, "Where's the lamb?" Sin abounded. But I think of the answer of Abraham, I see that grace did much more abound. Because Abraham told his son, "God will provide himself a lamb." Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I think of all of the blood that stained the Jewish altars. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of animals were slain because of a sin problem. And that blood flowed down from Jewish altars. Sin abounded. But every time God would hear from heaven and answer or respond to those sacrifices, I'm even thinking of how when Elijah takes that offering and offers it before God, God hears from heaven and the fire of God laps up that sacrifice. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. I look at this world today, I see it's sin abounding. But I also see grace abounding in the way God saves sinners. About 2 weeks ago, on a Wednesday night, there was a man and his wife came in our service. And that gentleman came in here and he came in shouting and went out shouting. And he sit there in the service and I was preaching. And every few minutes he'd wave his red handkerchief. And he'd shout. And I've got to tell you, right off the bat, I was a little bit judgmental. I thought, I think I could preach a little bit better if that guy would just hold it down a little bit. Now, I don't mind a good hearty amen and hallelujah, but I guess it's just the way we're all cut. But I thought, that guy's a little bit noisy. But after I read his testimony, I had to go to God and ask God to forgive me. You Gideons will appreciate what this testimony is all about. I'm talking about this fellow that came in here. He's heading to a mission field. Listen to this. He said, I was born in Huntington, West Virginia. I was raised in a Christian home, graduated from a Christian school, and was very rebellious toward my mother and father. I left home on Christmas of 1979. Though I knew about God, I did not know God. From 1980 to 2000, 20 years, I indulged in crack cocaine abuse, 3.5 years of Satan worship, 3.5 years of sticking needles in my arms, 10 to 20 times a day alcohol abuse, and 20 years of authority abuse. I was arrested February the 29th of 2000. I didn't actually get arrested, I was rescued. As soon as I walked into the jail cell, a man came up to me and said, I know who can ease your pain. I told him to get his God and his Bible and get away from me because I wanted nothing to do with him. I laid down, went to sleep for a few days till I sobered up. When I woke up, you fellows will appreciate this, I picked up a Gideon Bible and started reading. The Holy Spirit started to work. I was saved May the 1st. Of 2000 in a jail cell. I asked the Lord to do with me whatever He wanted. Little did I know that God would take what I said and run with it. And then now He's heading to Papua New Guinea. I had to say, God forgive me, because I look at it like this. If I had that background, I'd be waving red flags and shouting too. I'm thankful that where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Oh, there's so many precious examples of that in the Bible. I think of a man by the name of Joseph. I think about how sin abounded because his brothers took him and sold him into slavery. But I think of how grace did much more abound because a day would come that Joseph would stand in their presence. He would say, you thought to do me evil, but God thought to do good. And because of what God had done, it wasn't but no time after that that the Jewish people were moved into Egypt. And God protected them. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I think of when our Savior was born. I think of how sin was abounding. I think about how the Roman government was in its perverted form, was cruel. There seemed to be nothing but hopelessness prevailing upon this earth. Sin was abounding, But thank God, we know what happened. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I think of a man recording Mark chapter 5. I see sin abounding. Here's a man shackled by sin. Here's a man spending his time in the tombs. Here's a man whose life has been ruined. He's hopeless. He's cutting himself. He's demon-possessed. I see sin abounding. But oh, thank God Jesus comes to where he's at. Jesus touches him. That man is restored. That man is saved. That man is now clothed in his right mind, desiring to follow the Lord. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Go with me to the cross. I see sin abounding. I see the precious Son of God. I see Him falsely accused. I see Him in Pilate's judgment hall. Sin is abounding. Who shall we release? Let's release Barabbas. I see sin abounding. When they take that cat of nine tails and beat him, till flesh is pulled from his bones. I see sin abounding as they take and place that crown of thorns upon his head. I see sin abounding with the snarling remarks made by the crowd that day. I see sin abounding. But oh, thank God, I see grace abounding. It's finished. It's finished. I see grace abounding. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. I think of a time that sin was abounding in my own life. My life was a dead-end street. I was hopeless. I was lost. I was a miserable, hell-bound sinner. Sin was abounding. But oh, thank God for the night that Christ came in. My eyes were opened. Thank God for John 3:16. When sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I went to church that night knowing that sin was abounding, but thank God I went home that night knowing that grace was superabounding. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. I look at people who get sick. Many times I've seen people's bodies withering away. I see someone's body eat up with cancer, maybe a heart problem. I see them withering away. A person dies. They're placed in a tomb, and their body to be eaten by worms. I see sin abounding. But oh, thank God, I see grace superabounding. Because the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I see sin abounding as that body is lying cold in that grave, but I see grace abounding when Jesus says, come up hither. Because thank God He's coming back again. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. I'm glad today, where sin abounded, God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad even though sin may be taking its course, thank God grace does something far greater. You may be here today lost without God, hopeless. I want to tell you, sin's taken a toll on you, but grace can surely bail you out, because grace will pick up the slack every time. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Thank God today for that truth. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you.